You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
October 10th, 2024. The time is 9:07. Another beautiful start here in north central Wisconsin. Temperature has risen a little bit more. It's now 47 degrees at our downtown studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. I am Chad Holmes. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show here on 98.9 WXCO. Also 1230 on your AM dial. Online at BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we will hear a discussion with the head football coach at Stevens Point Senior High School. A big game coming up here in central Wisconsin tomorrow night. A battle for the conference championship in all likelihood as DC Everest will host Stevens Point. Both teams tied for first place in the Wisconsin Valley Conference / Big Rivers Conference East. And the winner will clinch at least a share of the conference championship and in all likelihood win that conference championship. Also help themselves potentially get a home playoff game when the postseason gets underway in a couple of weeks. So we'll talk to head football coach Ryan Eigenberger of Stevens Point. He was one of our guests last night on the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction here on 98.9 WXCO. Also coming up, we're going to take a peek at what's going on in sports as we get towards the weekend. There's big games going on with the Packers and the Badgers and a whole bunch more. And at the end of the program, we will have our daily history lesson. And we always wrap things up, final segment, loosen it up just a little bit. We talk about some famous events that occurred on this date in history. We tell you about some famous folks who are celebrating birthdays. We tell you about some events that are being acknowledged here today. And we also have our number for the day. And as part of our number for the day, we have a number for the day quiz where I give Ian Welsh three choices. And because it's basically a guess, he tries to use some knowledge in there and trying to figure it out. But based on the math, you should get one out of three correct just by guessing. And then if you have a little extra knowledge, that helps as well. And in fact, for the most part, that little extra knowledge has helped because most weeks he's been able to have passing weeks and, in fact, have many winning weeks as well because we call a passing week anything above 33%.
Yes.
We call a winning week anything above 50%. Mm-hmm. And he's had a lot of passing weeks and some winning weeks. But this week, it's
I'm cutting it close.
Back against the wall. You are 0 for 2 so far this week. You were away on Monday, so did not have it. Then Tuesday, did not get it right. We had a number that was the high number, and you picked the middle number. Yesterday, it was a day where the middle number was correct.
And I chose the high number.
You chose the high number. So you've been close, but not quite there. And so that means in order for you to pass this week and at the same time win, because you get the 50%, that's a winning week, you have to get the last 2 days right.
Yes, I do.
Today and tomorrow. And would you like to know what our number for the day is for today?
Yes, I would. Yes.
Okay, I'm not going to give you the number for the day, but I'll give you the topic for the number for the day.
Yes.
Make it too easy if I gave you the actual number.
True.
All right. It's about the work week.
The work week.
The work week. So that's sort of a broad category. It's I don't you're not gonna be able to figure it out just based on that, but it's actually an interesting number concerning the work week. So
I'll start thinking about that.
Be coming up.
Okay.
Also, I wanted to talk a little bit here in this segment. If you go to BullFallsRadio.com, we have news coverage. We have my blog. We have our sports coverage. A listing of our upcoming sporting events, play by play. We have. Previous broadcasts, a whole bunch at BullFallsRadio.com. But as part of our news stories, if you go towards the bottom of the page, of the homepage, there's a story from our political editor, Dan Schaefer, political director. He is also from the Recombobulation Zone, but now Recombobulation Zone is teamed up with Civic Media. And Dan Schaefer, our political chief here for Civic Media. And there's a new article talking about the state legislature and the potential of Democrats to win a majority for the first time in well over a decade with the results of the election coming up in 26 days. Well, according to Dan Schaefer's new article, and again, I would encourage you to go to BullFallsRadio.com and click on the new article from Dan Schaefer. He says that Republicans' odds to win the assembly majority rise, though the Democrats still on track to pick up seats both in the assembly and in the state Senate. And the reason that Dan Schaefer says that the odds for the Republicans have improved is because of a big influx of money. And one of the seats that's being targeted is the seat that I talked a little bit about earlier, the 85th Assembly District between Yi-Leng Zhang and Pat Snyder. And according to the Wisconsin Legislature Voter Guide that Dan Schaefer and Civic Media put out, there have been projections shifting for several assembly races, including the 85th here in central Wisconsin.
Okay.
The 85th was listed as a toss-up by Dan Schaefer, but now he has changed it to tilt Republicans. So he's got it right now in a very tight race between Pat Snyder and Yi-Leng Zhang from a toss-up to tilt Republican. And he says one of the reasons behind this and four other races that have been moving in the Republicans' direction is huge, huge, huge donations from two of the richest women in the state of Wisconsin. And these two have been involved in giving lots of money to Republicans for many, many years. And Diane Hendricks and Elizabeth Eline, again, two of the richest folks in Wisconsin, and they continue to give incredible amounts of money. And I've said this before. Diane Hendricks and Liz Eline have combined to give more than $6 million to the Republican Assembly Campaign Committee and the Committee to Elect a Republican Senate. And these donations puts Republicans ahead of Democrats in overall direct fundraising for the Senate, for the state legislature. But I've said this before. If you are somebody that has enough money to give, frankly, tens of millions of dollars, some of these folks give millions of dollars, but it could be tens of millions of dollars, and it and it does not affect your life, because you know that Diane Hendricks and Liz Eline are not saying, oh, I'm not going to have to cut back on something now. I've given all this money to the Republicans to win elections. I'm going to have to step back and cut back on my spending somewhere. No. They have so much money, and a lot of it is because of the massive Trump tax cuts that were given back in 2017. Those tax cuts more than pay for all this political spending. It is a dirty system, basically.
It doesn't even make a dent in their checkbooks.
It's no!
Like I can give away like $5 million. I still have all this access. I still have $20 million.
I've given a grand total of $25 in this election cycle.
I haven't given any money
I know,
yet.
But it's like, you know, because if I gave more than that, it would affect me. If I gave any, you know, if I gave a three-digit donation, it would affect me. But these folks can give eight-digit donations.
They have
millions
money
of dollars.
To burn. We don't have money to burn.
No.
We work hard for our money. We save our money. We can't just, like, spend it all in one place and just expect a, a brand new a sum of money is just going to fall out of the sky, because that's not how the middle class works.
But the bottom line here is these donations and the raft of cash, according to Dan Schaefer from Hedricks and Eline in particular, are having an impact on the race. And he has taken five different assembly races and shifting them in favor of Republicans because of the money influx for these races, including the 85th Assembly District. So again, we're going to be joined by Yi Leng Zhang on this show coming up on Tuesday of next week. And I'm going to ask him about this, about how this money from outside the area being put into the coffers of the Republican Party and then being used to help Pat Snyder. Is it affecting this race? Does he sense anything changing because of this money coming in? But again, it doesn't mean that the election's going one way or the other. It just means that money does influence these elections. It does. I mean, as much as we don't want it to, because, as I said, getting all these pieces of mail, it does affect it. And then you have the TV commercials and everything up.
Sounds like a bribery, honestly. I don't know if that's the right term for it, but it sounds like bribery.
Well, I mean, in a sense, these folks, especially these richest folks, are giving all this money to Republicans in the expectation that they will cut taxes for themselves. So basically, then the money will come back to them, and they'll come out ahead in the process. So basically, these tax cuts are paying for Republican campaign ads in a certain
it's not
respect.
A good system.
But according to Dan Schaefer, with the latest information, the odds of Republicans remaining in the majority are going up. Democrats still do have a chance to flip the assembly, and it's the best chance they've had since 2008. But he says that the GOP is even more likely now to win some of these key races because of this influence of money. He said before he thought that the Republicans had about a 60% chance to win the majority in the assembly, and now he says I'd bump that up to 65%. However, the party in power will still come down to toss-up races. So, again, if you want more information on what this money means and the races in the assembly that will be the ones that ultimately determine who has control of the assembly, go to bullfallsradio.com and check out the latest information from Dan Schaefer, the recombobulation zone, and now our political editor here at Civic Media. So very good stuff in the news section at bullfallsradio.com. The time is 9:17. We have, again, sunny skies and 47 degrees here in central Wisconsin, getting closer and closer to another big high school football weekend. Going to talk a little bit about some of the big matches to keep an eye on. Also, we'll talk a little bit about what else is going on last night. A lot of Major League Baseball playoff action, kind of review where we stand with that as well. After beating the Brewers, the New York Mets, they are still winning. In fact, they eliminated Philadelphia last night, so we'll talk a little bit about that coming up. The time is 9:18. Along with Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. It's a must-win game for the Wausau West High School football team on Friday night. The Warriors travel to Eau Claire to take on Memorial with their playoff hopes on the line. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coverage begins with the pregame show at 6:35 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. Wausau West Sports on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, North Star Restoration, K5 Construction, and Coast to Coast Marketing. It's Wausau West at Eau Claire Memorial in high school football, Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:35, opening kickoff at 7, on your home for Wausau West Sports, 98.9 WXCO, BullFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Just heard a promo for our high school football with the Wausau West Warriors. We have three games coming up this weekend. Wausau West at Eau Claire Memorial, 6:35 pregame, right here on 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Also tomorrow night, Marathon is at Wittenberg-Burnhamwood. You can hear that game live on the Sports 2 stream of BowFallsRadio.com and the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. That game will also air on a tape delay basis following coverage of the Wausau West game here on 98.9 WXCO. And then on Saturday, it's Newman Catholic taking on Tri-County. We'll have coverage of that one Saturday, starting with the pregame show at 12:35 and the opening kickoff at 1 p.m. Again, live on 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Major League Baseball playoffs are continuing. One place where the baseball playoffs aren't this year is Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay Rays did not make the playoffs, and it's a good thing because Hurricane Milton hitting the Tampa Bay area. And if you look at some stories concerning the home field of the Tampa Bay Rays, Tropicana Field, the roof has been basically ripped off. The roof.
I saw that in the morning. The news, it was really bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's an unusual roof at Tampa Bay. It features the world's largest cable-supported dome roof. It is made of 6 acres of translucent Teflon-coated fiberglass and supports itself with 180 miles of cables connected by struts. According to the folks that made the field, it is built to withstand winds of up to 115 miles per hour. According to the National Weather Service, the wind gusts were up to 101 miles per hour during the 10 p.m. hour last night. But again, you can basically have, you can see down onto the field and into the stands where the roof used to cover it up. So there's going to be a lot of work that needs to be done at Tropicana Field in Tampa, home of the Tampa Bay Rays. So again, that storm is very, very, very dangerous. Last night, there were four games in the Major League Baseball playoffs. And of course, a lot of folks really not paying that much attention after the Brewers were eliminated last week. But the New York Mets continue their hot ways. They have advanced now to the National League Championship Series. They finished off their series with the Philadelphia Phillies last night, winning by a score of 4-1. So the Mets earn a series win 3-1. And now they will take on either the LA Dodgers or the San Diego Padres in the NL Championship Series. The Dodgers forced a deciding fifth game last night. They beat the Padres by a score of 8-0. So the Padres and the Dodgers will face off in game 5, with the winner then moving on to meet the Mets with a berth in the World Series on the line. In the American League, was a pair of game 3s last night, and Detroit has moved to within 1 game of a berth in the American League Championship Series. The Detroit Tigers defeated the Cleveland Guardians yesterday by a score of 3-0. Been quite a story for Detroit. They had about a less than 1% chance of making the playoffs back in August, but they made a great run the rest of the way, and they were able to sneak in, and now they defeated in the first round of the playoffs. They earned a win in the wild card round. Who do they beat in the wild card round? Man, I don't even remember. Who did they beat? KC beat Baltimore and Detroit. Mm-hmm. Who did they play in the wild card? Oh, Houston. They beat Houston. Okay. So many teams in the playoffs in the major leagues nowadays. But Detroit now 1 win away from moving on. Cleveland will have to win tonight in Detroit to force a fifth game in Cleveland. And also last night, I was disappointed because the Yankees beat Kansas City. I'm rooting for Kansas City. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Yankee fan. So the Yankees beat Kansas City last night 3-2. The Yankees have taken a 2-1 lead in that series. Game 4 will be played in Kansas City coming up tonight.
I'm actually kind of surprised the Chicago Bears have been doing pretty steady right now.
They're actually everybody in the division
tied with the Packers.
Yeah,
with the record right now, they're both 3-2, which is kind of shocking.
Everybody in the division has a winning record. 3-2 for the Pack, 3-2 for the Bears. Detroit, 3-1, and the Vikings are undefeated at 5-0.
Right?
Yeah, so, I mean, everybody in the NFC North doing very well. Of course, the Packers back home on Sunday, taking on the Arizona Cardinals at Lambeau Field. The interesting thing, again, we've had this great weather recently.
Yeah.
And that will be a day where it's expected to be chilly. It's like only 52-degree high temperature and a chance of rain. So after all this wonderful weather, the first really kind of fall-like football
game.
Yeah, so be ready for either cooler weather or even possibly rain if you are one of those Packers season ticket holders heading to Lambeau for that game with the Arizona Cardinals at 12 noon on Sunday.
That's right.
We have an information update coming up. News, weather, and sports. Find out what's happening. That's what we do. We find out what's happening at the top and bottom of every hour here on Civic Media. And then after that, we're going to talk about one of the big high school football matchups coming up tomorrow night. Undefeated in the conference, both Stevens Point and DC Everest. Conference championship basically on the line at Steam Stadium tomorrow evening. And we'll hear the discussion that Jason Foster and I had with Ryan Eigenberger, the head football coach at Spash, coming up after our information update. The time is 9:29, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Well, coming up tomorrow night, big matchup over at Steam Stadium at DC Everest in high school football. The Evergreens host the Stevens Point Panthers, both teams undefeated in the Wisconsin Valley Conference. And to talk a bit about that game and the season for the Stevens Point Panthers last night on the big high school sports show presented by K5 Construction, Jason Foster and myself had an opportunity to talk to Panther head coach Eigenberger, and we started off by talking about last season. They had won the conference championship, and then what were the expectations for this season, and has the team met them up to this point?
Yeah, I think coming into the year, you know, we evaluated where our guys were at and what we had returning, and look at the younger JV team as well, and we thought we still had a lot of really good playmakers that were coming up that were unproven for sure, but some dynamic athletes, and obviously having Grant Schottenau back for his third year and three returning all-conference offensive linemen, you know, we wanted to lean into that a little bit on the offensive side. And defensively, you know, we had a lot of the spine of our defense back and our two stud corners. So we wanted to, stick with what we're doing defensively and just let our guys fly around, kind of play free, make big plays. And I think they've done that so far this year. You know, we're on both sides of the ball. I mean, we started off with a tough loss at Chippewa Falls. I think, it's a great program, and we had some opportunities that we just didn't take care of. And then we figured it out, and then our only other loss is a tough game against Hudson and, a great environment up there. And, again, another great program and, came down to the wire and, real proud of the way our guys battled. And so this year, you know, we had those two losses, but our guys have stuck to the goals and we want to repeat as conference champions. And we got two games left, but Friday is a big step towards that with Everest right now being the other undefeated team in conference.
Yeah, Coach. So first off, congratulations on a great start to the year. As we've talked on the show each week and recapped your games, and I had the opportunity to watch you guys live against Wausau West a couple weeks ago too, it looks like the offense has kind of evolved a little bit as the season went on. Last year you guys were solid all the way around, but obviously had the big playmakers and stuff like that, and it's been interesting to watch Grant's numbers as the years has gone on, like number of rushing attempts, number of passing, and I know each defense brings a little different challenge, but can you talk a little about what things have, how it has evolved over the season offensively, in particular looking at Johnny Matthews' rushing yards this last week? Looks like he had a little bigger role than he's had up to this point.
Yeah, you know, and some of that's dictated on, Kyle Madlina and Johnny Matthews was where we wanted to be at running the ball in the backfield, and we started having to use Kyle on defense, and he's really stepped up for us there. So we're really happy with him being a real selfless player. And, we go in still hoping to get him a few touches, but we rode the hot hand last week with Johnny Matthews. And he's just a dynamic player. So we want to try to get him the ball as often as possible. you know, we wanted to, with his first year being up on varsity, we wanted to monitor kind of how he was used early and then kind of let him go as the season went on. And that's really where we've been at with him. I think we're in a good spot with that. And same thing with Grant. I mean, Grant just put in a lot of hard work in the off season. I mean, he's put on a lot of weight where I was more comfortable being able to run him a little bit more, and he can take some hits and deliver some blows too. He's a really hard runner. So he added that to his game, and now he's throwing the ball really well again too. So we added that dynamic back. And yeah, I mean, there's some explosiveness in there.
Talking about your offense, seeing it in person 2 weeks ago when you did play Wausau West in a very impressive performance for your team. It was a great environment, homecoming, big crowd, and you were able to come out there and perform exceptionally well. Could you talk about the keys to executing that offense? Because you use those short passes, and they turn into pretty good chunk plays because you execute so well. What is the key in terms of that short pass attack that you're able to get good yardage on it? What as a coach, maybe to explain for folks watching, what are the keys to the success when you're running that offense very well like you did 2 weeks ago in that game against West?
Well, I'll start with, you know, every week. I mean, this is not the schematic answer yet. You know, I can talk about what we look for. But, I mean, we talk about being physical every week. And we include our perimeter guys in that. So we work on blocking, and everybody works on that. And our receivers really buy into that as well. So, like when we sprung a few of those against West, it was because of the physicality that we played with up front on the line and out on the perimeter. Our guys really buy into that. Each week, that's number one goal for us. And we talk about how we can play physical and what we mean by that. So we define that for our players, and they really buy into it. I mean, that was our goal last year. We came in, we just thought we were just a little too soft 2 years ago, and we said, you know what, number one every week is going to be let's play physical on both sides of the ball, and our guys buy into that. When we throw some of the quick stuff, I mean, we give Grant a little bit of opportunity, too, to kind of just count the numbers, read the defense. We can do a couple different types of quick screens out there, and depending on the way the defense is aligned, so. You know, if we have a safety over number two and there's no outside linebacker or nickel defender out there, you know, and the safety is 10 yards off, we're gonna try to throw the ball out there and let our guys make a play. And then same thing, we can do that if a corner is playing really far off as well. We can make a play out there. We call them gift routes. We let our guys kind of adjust to the gift route, whatever they're giving us, and we try to take advantage of that.
Again, we're talking to Stevens Point Area Senior High School Head Football Coach Ryan Eichenberger here on the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO. Let's talk a little bit more about the defense, because obviously we always tend to look at those numbers on the offensive side, but the numbers you've put up defensively have been very good this season. Obviously, you said it, the first game of the year was maybe that aberration, 36 points allowed against Stevens Point, but since then, really a lot of great numbers on the defensive side of the football. You mentioned the fact about the physicality. What else has been key, and maybe some of the guys that are doing the work for you on the defensive side of the football?
I think what's key for us is, we think that the team that, again, plays more physical and then blocks and tackles better on Friday night is typically the team that wins. So we really buy into working on tackling and doing some pretty basic fundamental drills a few times a week and continuing to do that throughout the year to work on that tackling aspect. So I think that's a big thing for us. And it's something that we always try to improve. Then we have some ways to look at certain numbers like yards after contact and how much we're giving up. So we look at those numbers and try to make sure that we're limiting those. I think defensively, Connor Scarston is the inside linebacker, and Nick Roska, both our inside guys, have been doing a really great job of bottling things up the middle. And Calvin Roth is our safety who makes a lot of tackles for us each and every week. And he's flying around. I think our two corners, Donnie Ananiedis and Jackson Spees are two all-conference players from last year that, I mean, they're pretty tough to throw it against. So, we're always real confident whenever that ball goes in the air that, you know, they're going to make a play or at least try to knock it down and limit explosive plays. Then up front, too, I think we have Brett Standifer and Owen Vandenelsen are two returners for us that play on the line that put a lot of pressure on us. They suck up some blockers. You know, they do their jobs every single play, and they do all the dirty work. And, you know, on the D-line, that's where it's at. They do all the dirty work, and some of the other guys get all the tackles, but they do a great job of that. So I think it's all around great team effort. They pick each other up. One guy misses something, you know, the other guy's going to be right there to make a tackle, make a play, knock a ball down. So I think that's really that team aspect that they all buy into.
Coach, when last time I was hired as a head coach was at Wausau West, and the athletic director who hired me, Dan Hine, one of the things he said to me in the interview, which I'll always remember and I thought was a really good point, was that when you come into a new program, it's not really your – everything's not officially yours and has your stamp on it until year five. So being in year – so no matter how good or how bad things go in those first few years – it's you're still dealing with some kids who went through a different youth program and different. So being in year three, how do you feel about where you guys are at and where you guys are headed? Knowing you're getting close to year five, you're over halfway through now, halfway through year three. How do you feel about where the program's at, and what else do you think you need to work on?
We feel great at where the program's at. I mean, we've connected more. Once we got here, We combined our ninth grades. You know, we did that where instead of having Ben Franklin and PJ Jacobs have two separate ninth grade teams, they're one ninth grade team. We bring them over to Spash. We call them Spash, and we get our seventh, eighth graders involved in the summer programs. And we do a lot of things where we're trying to build it all up. And I think some of that comes from where I came from. It was a smaller school program, so I just was used to treating the program as almost a 4 through 12 type of program, grade 4 through grade 12. So I brought that mentality here. I try to be involved in the youth area football. We have our guys showing up on Saturdays at youth area football games. So I'm really happy with where the program's at. I'm really happy with where the players really buy into that and giving back to it. We have our Ben PJ's 8th grade game on tomorrow night, and we talked about, seniors. You know, we want you there and to give back to the young kids and, you know, what type of legacy do you want to leave? And we're really happy with that. I think we could continue to improve that, and especially me, you know, continue to improve having a little bit more of that cohesiveness from those younger grades on up as far as it's schematically. And like I talked about our tackling before, I think we have to make sure our guys are hearing the same type of language, the same type of verbiage used when we're talking about some of those fundamental skills. So we're still working on improving that. But I think we've made a lot of great strides here.
One other thing, kind of piggybacking on that, is you said it. You've seen some of the best teams from the western part of the state the last couple of years since being at Stevens Point. You've seen some of the best teams over on the eastern part of the state since being at Stevens Point. And I know that in talking to a lot of people around high school football here in central Wisconsin, it's about trying to build things up generally here in central Wisconsin, especially specifically within each of these schools, to be able to compete and win some of these playoff games and to make deeper runs in the postseason. Do you feel as though that your program is getting closer in terms of that competition to take those steps to make deeper runs in the postseason playoffs, to be able to compete with some of these powerhouse programs that you've been able to see and compete with?
Yeah, I think we are. And it's a great question, a great point. I think when you look at a lot of the teams around here, a lot of schools around here, I think it just starts in the weight room, and you're seeing more of the schools around here, including us, kind of buy into that more. But it's not just one sport, you know, buy into it as like an athletic department. I know a lot of the other conference schools are doing that as well, and we're trying to continue to build up on that. I think that's just what you see in some of those consistent programs is just they have the great strength and conditioning part of even at their school day, and they have a great strength and conditioning program that goes down to the younger grades. And really, once you get to the playoffs, I mean, that's kind of what it's a test of is, you know, who's still in the best shape, who's still healthy, you know, who's still able to play at their peak level of performance, once you get to that week 10, week 11, week 12 part of the season. So I think that's a major, major part of it. And I see a lot of the teams around here really buying into that.
So getting back to this season and where things are at, you guys and DC Everest have kind of separated yourselves from the rest of the conference. What are you looking for this week in the matchup against DC Everest?
Well, Everest is a great program. Obviously a very storied program, and they're real proud We know that they'll be up there, you know, clanging some cowbells and getting excited on the sidelines, like they always do up in the stands. And you know, they're well coached. They're real explosive. So, you know, I think we're looking to do what we do. We're looking to play physical. We're looking to, you know, give our guys the confidence to make plays. We talk about how we can draw things up on a whiteboard all the time, but you know, that's not the way it's ever going to be on the game field. So you have to be confident in what you're doing. And, you know, as long as everyone on the field on the same page, as long as somebody who makes a mistake makes an aggressive mistake, good things happen. So, you know, we know that on Friday in a game, again, you know, with two really good teams, nothing's going to be perfect. You have to be able to roll with the punches. You know, there'll be some big gains. There'll be some big runs back and forth. And you have to be able to respond to those. And sometimes that's what it comes down to, is a team that can win some of those moments where the response is most important. You know, after a big play, can your defense really step up and maybe stop the next play or stop the drive or stop the bleeding at that point? Or, you know, after you turn the ball over or after you get a turnover, you know, can you stay level-headed and really continue on with what your game plan was? So I think that's really what Friday comes down to, is the team that's the best in those moments.
It certainly should be a lot of energy at Steam Stadium. It should be a fantastic matchup between, as you said, two programs with great tradition and currently doing exceptionally well as well. Coach, I know it's a very busy week, a big game coming up on Friday, but we do appreciate you spending a few minutes with us.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Head coach Ryan Eichenberger of the Stevens Point Panthers. Again, Stevens Point at D.C. Everson, a massive high school football matchup tomorrow night at Steam. Coming up next, it's our daily history lesson. 9:49 is the time. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Beautiful start again here in North Central Wisconsin. Taking a peek to my right, out onto Washington Street. It is sunny. Again, a lovely start here as we get towards the middle portion of October. The temperature continues to rise up into the 50s. It's now 51 degrees here at our downtown studios. It is Thursday, October the 10th of 2024. It is day number 284 this year. There are 82 days remaining in this year, and a number of famous events have occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1892, a man named Earl Dixon was born. Any idea what Earl Dixon did?
I know I've heard the name before, but I don't know exactly.
I don't think you actually did hear the name. I just think it's the man invented Band-Aids.
Oh.
He invented Band-Aids for his wife, who had.
I guess I haven't heard of him.
Yeah, he had invented Band-Aids for his wife, who had frequent kitchen accidents, cutting or burning herself. He worked as a buyer for Johnson & Johnson, who soon began manufacturing Band-Aids.
Very helpful invention.
On this date in 1979, the great one, Wayne Gretzky, played his first National Hockey League game and scored the first of his NHL record 1,962 assists for the visiting Edmonton Oilers against the Chicago Blackhawks. On this date in 2006, Google announced it was buying YouTube for $1.65 billion. On this date in 2007, three teens suspected of burglarizing vehicles in Madison were arrested after they attempted to elude a police car. After officers spotted the car and gave chase, the driver turned right, apparently in an attempt to avoid being caught. Unfortunately, he turned right into a police station parking lot.
Ooh.
And on this date in 2016, actress Shailene Woodley was arrested for trespassing while protesting against the proposed Dakota Access Pipeline. Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. David Lee Roth, the original lead singer of Van Halen, turned 70 years old today. Actor Bradley Whitford from The West Wing is 65. Current California Governor Gavin Newsom is 57 years old. Legendary Green Bay Packer quarterback Brett Favre turns 55 years old today. Actor Mario Lopez of Saved by the Bell and Access Hollywood, 51 years old today. NASCAR legend Dale Earnhardt Jr. turns 50 years old today. Actor Dan Stevens of Downton Abbey and Legion is 42. Rose McIver of Ghosts and iZombie is 36. And Presley Hosbach of Dance Moms and Stage Fright is 17 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO.
Happy birthday.
Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Hug a Drummer Day. It is Angel Food Cake Day. It is Cake Decorating Day. It is Hug a Kevin Day.
Aww.
It is Love Your Hair Day. It is Metric Day. It is Tuxedo Day. It is Walk to a Park Day. It is U.S. Naval Academy Day. It is World Day Against the Death Penalty. It is World Homeless Day, World Mental Health Day, and World Sight Day. All right, it's time now for our number for the day. The pressure is on.
Oh,
because
yes.
Ian is 0 for 2 this week. That means he has to get the final two correct in order to salvage a winning week and a passing week as well. So, again, what we do is we give Ian three choices. Based on the math, he should get one out of three correct. So the goal every week is at least 33% correct. And unfortunately, so far this week, 0% correct.
Yes.
But
unfortunately, that's true.
Do you remember what the topic was?
It was the work week.
Yep,
right?
The work week.
Very a broad topic.
Very broad indeed, but very interesting number, in fact.
Okay.
Our number for the day is the percentage of working adults who said they would take a four-day work week over a 20% raise. So,
percent of people at work who said they would take a four-day work week over a 20% raise.
So if they had a choice, if they said to somebody, okay, you have a choice. You can either have a 20% raise or a four-day work week. How many, the percentage of working adults who said they would take the four-day work week instead of a 20% raise?
Wow.
All right. Is the correct answer 62%? Is the correct answer 72%?
Okay.
Is the correct answer 82%?
Percentage of people who would choose a four-day work week over 20% raise. 62.
20% is a pretty big raise.
Yeah, it is. 62, but, 72, or 82% of people.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, well, my gut here, I don't want to overthink this, but I'm going to say that probably, oh boy, this is a lot of pressure. I'm going to say 72% of people. I'm going with the middle answer today. I'm going 72% of people. It's my final answer.
The first day of the week was the highest number. The second day of the week was the middle number.
Mm-hmm.
And today it is the lowest number, 62%.
Oh, doggone it.
62% of working adults who said they would take a four-day work week over a 20% raise. All right. Well, you can't have a passing week.
That's okay. You can't win them all.
But you don't want to have a zero week, do you?
No, absolutely
so
not.
So tomorrow we're going to try to avoid a zero week.
Yeah.
I don't think you've had a zero week.
Yeah, I certainly hope I can keep that going.
Well, have a good rest of your day.
You too, Chad. Happy Thursday, everybody.
And we'll see you tomorrow, 8 till 10, right here on WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.